Comedian Bob Hope celebrates his 100th birthday today. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg has this appreciation.
Bob Hope, that quintessentially American entertainer, was in fact born in England. Hope's real first name was Leslie, and his family moved from Eltham, England, to Cleveland, Ohio, when he was 5. As a teenager, Leslie Hope was something of a juvenile delinquent. He got arrested for petty theft and dropped out of high school. But early on, he discovered a talent for singing, dancing, and telling jokes, and he started touring in vaudeville with a partner. Hope recreated a bit of his old act with Bing Crosby on a radio show in 1937.
I've got a small problem.
You got a problem?
Yes, I've got a problem.
What is it?
Where do the bugs go in the winter?
You can search me.
The corny jokes did not go over too well, as Bob Hope told NPR in 1983.
We laid the biggest egg ever laid in the Bronx, and we didn't know where we were going, and we started out to try to get to Chicago. We broke our jump in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And the manager asked me to introduce the next show, and I did, and started telling jokes and got laughs.
And that is when Hope got the idea of doing monologues. Bob Hope did not invent the form, but he spent years perfecting it on the vaudeville circuit. Somewhere on that circuit, he went from Leslie to Lester and finally to Bob Hope. In 1933, he landed on Broadway. A few years later, Hollywood called. When Jack Benny turned down a role in the big broadcast of 1938, Paramount tapped Hope to do the film. He sang a duet with Shirley Ross that won an Academy Award and became his theme song.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse, nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse.
While he was making pictures for Paramount, NBC offered Bob Hope his own radio program. That show made him a national star.
We bid you all hello, here welcome to our show. May we present for precedent a guy you want to know.
Radio was a challenge. In vaudeville, Hope could tell the same jokes for months on end because his audiences were different. But weekly radio demanded fresh material. Bob Hope hired a staff of writers. Mort Lachman worked with the comedian for more than 25 years.
We called ourselves the members of the Double Cross and Circle Club. He would read maybe somewhere between 200 or 300 and 500 jokes were submitted by the writers for the monologue. And he would go through every one, and he would put an X over the ones he liked the first time through. Then he would read the X's and make a double across for the ones he still liked. And then he would read the double X's and circle the ones that still made it. And then he would try them in front of an audience.
Paper photographers were all down at the railroad station when I arrived, but I didn't like the pictures that came out in the papers. There's no use talking. I'll have to learn to climb down those Pullman steps frontwards. That's a joke you have to think about for a minute. I wish I'd thought about it a minute before I put it in.
Bob Hope was not the easiest boss, according to Mort Lachman.
When you worked for Hope, you gave him your life. Every hour of every day belonged to him. And he called you any time, day or night. He once called me at home at 11 and said, could you meet me at the house? It was 11 o'clock at night. I went over there. I wasn't home for a week. We went on the road.
In the fall of 1939, Hope went on the road to Singapore with crooner and frequent foil Bing Crosby and the exotic Dorothy L'Amour. It was the first of 7 hit road movies they made. 2 years later, Bob Hope began a project that would become the hallmark of his career. It started with a simple request from his radio producer in the spring of 1941. Would he do a broadcast from March Field, a California air base?
And I said, why? We're doing fine here at Sunset and Vine on the radio. But he talked us into going, and we all got on the bus and went down there.
I just finished working on a picture just the other day. Yesterday, in fact, we finished. Finished doing a picture called Road to Morocco with Dorothy L'Amour and Bing Crosby. You know, L'Amour, the girl who started on the shoestring, now she wears it for a costume.
The audience was so fantastic. that we decided to keep doing. And we did next week in Camp Pendleton, then we went to San Diego, then Camp Roberts. Then, of course, in December, the war broke out. Then you felt like you were really doing something, you know?
World War II turned Bob Hope from comedian to American icon. John Lahr profiled Hope in the New Yorker magazine.
What the war did for him was put his comedy in a heroic context and make it seem like it had a mission. You know, it had no mission in ordinary civilian life, but it had, in the extraordinary circumstances of war, the ability to take people out of their woes, which is in itself no easy task.
Bob Hope entertained the troops from the Second World War through the First Persian Gulf War. His humor was usually easygoing. It touched on politics, but rarely took sides. During the Vietnam War, though, Bob Hope became identified as a hawk.
But don't worry about those riots you hear about in the States. You'll be sent to survival school before they send you back there. Now, I have real good news for you. I want to tell you guys, the country's behind you 50%.
Bob Hope's humor played less well after Vietnam. He was seen as too mainstream, less and less amusing, old-fashioned. John Lahr says Hope's jokes are such a part of their time that they may not endure. But he was a pioneer.
He really was the first topical comedian. He did what Leno and Letterman now do.
At his peak, Bob Hope was number one on radio and television and made over 50 movies. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, he is the most honored entertainer in history. And his papers are now enshrined in the permanent collection of the Library of Congress. Bob Hope, 100 years old today. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Samples of Bob Hope's comedy and music are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.